a forest full of green that smells like pine and wonder. Love is not invisible brain control and pain and malicious intent and lying all the time.
It's time for Love Line. Love Line. Love Line. It's time for Love Line. Love Line.
Although it can be all of these things and more. Love is a many splendored thing. It is not a shitload of slaughtered pigs lying and festering in the bleeding desert. Love is what love is, and love is not what love is not. Not.
Love Line is meant for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Oh, I thought the show would never start, Drew.
Well, you were waiting around here for quite some time.
Jay Moore here, everybody.
How did you beat me here?
I was good to see you, Jay. It was just moments ago I was on the freeway, so I don't know how I beat you here.
Coming in from the Inland Empire in your estate?
No, I was coming in from one of my homes, but not in the Inland Empire. Julianne Nicholson is also here. She stars opposite Jay in Seeing Other People.
Not a bad looking girl.
Not at all.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
And it says here, by the way, that Julianne won the Best Actress Award at the U.S. Comedy Arts Festival for a role in this movie, Drew. Ooh. So here's the thing. The movie has to be at least good because...
it's really good.
If the movie sucks, you know, that'll give you the best...
Awards.
The best awards, yeah. Yeah, once in a while you can be an MVP-type player on a, you know, sub-500 team, but not very often.
But we were up against, like, home movies from...
Toronto.
Yeah, it was, like, people's home movies. Some guy videotaped, like, ants. Some, like, you know, John Frusciante shooting up with ants.
Oh, stop it.
Drew's
judging me.
I'm just wondering. It's a scary time that if everyone has a three-chip camera these days... It just seems like, I don't know how many movies are being made now as opposed to how many movies were being made 30 years ago, but it has to just be tenfold, right?
We're on E right now.
We don't even know it.
Yeah, we don't even know it.
True.
Yeah.
We never knew it before either.
That we were on E?
Are we only here on E when Jay Moore's here?
No, it was a Wisconsin documentary. You know about that?
Jesus Christ. I've been scratching my ass like a madman during the
Julianne,
break.
Julianne, it's a good career move. Get on the radio and don't say anything.
Shut up, Jay.
Yeah, what's
no,
up, Julianne?
She's the sweetest.
There's no air there for me yet. I'm waiting for my big moment.
She's telling
I'm,
you something,
I'm diving in.
I know.
Yeah, she's picking her spot.
I just like to listen to Jay.
All right, so does the the movie hits the theaters, that would be this Friday. I'm sorry, there's going to be some competition at the box office because Dr. Drew... has a movie where he plays the father of the Olsen twins called The New York Minute, which is also hitting the theaters this Friday. So it's a tough choice.
Nice job, Drew.
It's tough, tough.
Did you have to go in and audition and everything?
No.
They just offered it to you?
Yeah.
Those little who has got some real power, huh?
Yeah, they got juice.
They do?
You know, they have what?
Juice.
Oh, juice.
Juice. That's it,
juice. Like, who doesn't?
I don't know why I saw him in the back of a magazine doing a milk ad. And I always find it disturbing with that milky upper lip.
Yeah.
It's bizarre when it's on Patrick Ewing, but it becomes sort of deviant and sexual when it's on the Olsen twins.
How about the chocolate milk one?
Yeah, that one's a little freaky, too.
I haven't seen that one.
You can imagine.
It's like
a dirty Sanchez are going on. Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
I should listen more and talk lines.
Drew.
Help me,
beating Jay out with the dirty Sanchez singer.
All right, we'll get to it.
Jay's starting to sound more and more like Christopher Walken all the time.
It's because he's from Queens and I'm from Jersey, so it's like, it's crazy.
I've changed that name to Jasper.
What's that from?
Jasper Jowls.
That's you.
I know, but the big pig woman with the jug.
That's me doing Christopher Walken at Chuck E. Cheese. Jasper Jowls is the name of the dog.
That was from this show, right?
Yes, the big pig woman with the jug. Julianne Nicholson
in your ass.
Oh wait, I'm looking down the line of credits on this movie here. Jonathan Davis, our dear friend from Korn, is in this movie.
Really? No kidding.
And Lauren Graham. Drew, you're not shocked by that. You're stunned.
We just talked about it in Stryker Studio 5 minutes ago.
I was tuned out. Stryker was talking.
I was returning all my IMs.
So true, yeah. So
I know Jonathan did film it soon.
Well, you didn't
he's
do films
freak,
either,
he's
did you?
He's freaked out when he sees me in a film.
Lauren Graham, who's the hottie from Gilmore Girls, right?
Right.
Is also in this movie.
Julianne's sister. Julianne's sister.
And Andy Richter.
And Andy Richter, who's,
who blew us off last week and we'll be seeing on Sunday.
I'm
That's
retarded.
Right. Who's yeah, yeah. in Drew's movie. It's a strange little incestuous circle here. Yes, Drew?
And then I'm seeing Lisa Durgan is coming up. Isn't she one, was she on one of your shows? Sports shows?
No, she's on Best Damn Sports Show.
Okay, Drew, way to kill it. Way to kill it.
We yeah, need to go take some calls.
We had a nice thing going.
I was like, what is he looking at? I was like, she's in the other room?
We had a nice little roll going. We had a nice little flow going.
Yeah, but that was time
you
to
just
get some
killed
calls.
It. Yeah.
What award did you win? I'll do this. What award did you win, Julianne? What was it called?
I think it was the Best Actress Award.
Really?
Yeah.
And where was that?
That was at the Aspen Comedy Festival.
So you must be really funny in this film, seeing other people that opens tomorrow on 14 screens and on 3 Viewmasters.
Ooh, Viewmasters. When is that? Oh, Last Comic Standing, by the way, second season.
Do you have a website, Julianne?
Not that I'm aware of, Jack.
No, you don't?
No.
You don't?
No.
Where can we find you? Where else can we see you?
I just did a movie called Little Black Book with Brittany Murphy and Holly Hunter and Kathy Bates. Ooh. We'll be out in the fall.
I read for that, and they told me I was too old, and then they gave it to that prick who's older than me.
Who?
Ron Livingston.
Ron Livingston.
That prick.
They're like, you know what? She's like a 22-year-old kid, and you're 33, and I'm like, Ron Livingston's 35. Just tell me I stink. I can handle it. I'm a big boy.
Yeah. Yeah, screw
Ron. Jasper Charles. Andy Richter's retarded. Blow off Drew. It's
All
a
right.
stupid thing to do.
Let's get to the phones.
All right.
Now, where's the movie going? Is it wide release or
no.
is it an
L.A.
New York thing?
It's literally like L.A., New York, Chicago, and Dallas. It's 14 screens.
They had great reviews.
Like 12 of them are here.
Great reviews. And Drew, what about this Olsen Twins thing?
Yeah, Drew.
That's kind of an
small.
Art house thing.
No, it's going wide
release.
It's going wide.
Wide release.
Wide.
Wow. Okay.
Are they normal?
Taking a chance
They're
on the
very,
kids.
Really.
Be honest, Drew.
No way. Listen.
They don't listen to this.
There's a picture of her in like the Inquirer today where she's skin and bones. That's the
Mary
quote.
Kate.
Is this true?
Mary Kate's skinny, but
he knew which one you meant before.
Well, I didn't know which one
talking
I meant.
About. But listen, I saw no evidence of problems. They were. I'm kidding. Not kidding, guys. They were delightful to deal with.
I saw one of them in the restroom at Barney's, and I couldn't take my eyes off.
In the restroom?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I beg your pardon.
Oh no.
Barney.
That's why I don't want to talk.
Barney, the dinosaur Barney of New York.
Barney's the of
yeah. New York. She had a party at Barney's, and she went into his bathroom to do blow with Baby Bop.
Julianne, you shop at Barney's of New York?
I've been there once.
And Mary Kate.
And it just so happened that Mary Kate was there.
Oh my God.
It was a fantastic day for me.
Julianne's real earthy. Like she lives in Venice, gets around on her bicycle. She's totally.
But what's she doing at Barney's?
That to her was like.
She has to keep up.
I'm telling you, she probably went in like to look at some kind of belt.
I went to Barney's.
This is the coolest gal you've ever met.
We used to get a gift certificate to Barney's each year from the producers of Loveline, the TV show.
Self-absorbed.
Yeah. I'm listening. I'm listening.
I know.
She bought a belt. Self-absorbed.
Yeah, both. I can do both. This year, self-absorbed. This one's delicious. Now, the middle one's a speaker.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll work that out later. But the point is I went in there to get some. I had a $1,000 gift certificate. The guy's wearing a bomber jacket. I was like, yeah, I need a bomber, like a nice leather jacket. Oh, yeah, this is $4,700. Like they have jackets that are well into the fives over there. They have, it's nutty cuckoo prices.
Yes.
You can't. Yeah, buy. Do you just look around, or what do you do?
I buy my skincare products there.
Uh-huh.
Why?
Thank you for asking.
Mm-hmm.
Why there?
Because it's one of the only places they sell them.
And what product is that? You might get a nice commercial out of this.
Sundari.
Sundari? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does it have any placenta or semen or anything?
You know what?
Weird.
Wow.
I don't know.
You hope so?
Okay. I hope so.
I'm feeling very bad for Julianne all of a sudden.
All right.
I got
it. No, it's okay.
You all right?
This is
Simpatico. What's this? Like De Niro said in The Deer Hunter. What's this? This is this.
Great radio. Lena?
Let your minds wander.
What's happening?
Lena's 22.
Hi.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was calling because I had sex the first time when I was 16. And then with my boyfriend, and then I decided to not have sex again because I just wasn't ready for that. So I didn't have sex until I was 22.
And let me go share a follow this. You had it once when you were 16, once again, and then nothing till 22.
No, no. I had sex, like, a few times with my boyfriend when I was 16, and then I stopped. And then I met somebody, and we got along really well. And so, like, I had sex with him, and this was last time we had sex was 6 weeks ago. And since then, I haven't been able to masturbate at all. At all.
Like, you can't reach? You're not able to? Or?
Like, I can't.
Your vagina slid down her leg.
You mean you can't orgasm with masturbation?
Yeah. Okay.
And before having had sex, you were able to?
Yeah, I had a great self-pleasuring time.
Well, I mean, you had 6 years of you time until this penis came in and ruined your world.
Broke
right?
up all the furniture.
Yeah, I mean, you had 6 years of going at yourself, right?
Yeah, but now I can't do it at all.
You had sex for the first time with this guy?
What do you mean?
No, she had sex. No.
Drew, get a glove and get in the game.
Well, I'm not following that.
What are you doing? She had sex at 16, then stopped until she was 22.
Right. Right. This guy.
Now this guy, she had sex with him when she's 22 years old.
One time?
No,
she's having sex with this guy, years. And then she goes to, right. to flick
often?
The bean, and it's not working
How
out.
How
retarded? Started.
Right.
Excuse me.
How often are you having sex with him?
It wasn't for that long. It was like 3 weeks. Like. 2-3 times a week.
All right.
At least she talks. I can't follow her. You did it for 3 weeks? Two or three times a week? And when did that stop?
6 weeks ago.
And since then, you've not, and why haven't you been with him across that 6 week interval?
Because it didn't work out between us.
Okay. Are you depressed or something?
Oh, that whole there's the answer. Hold on one second, honey.
Yeah.
The way it didn't work out between you is exactly the emotional block in your frontal lobe that's keeping you from letting go and having an orgasm with your own fingers. Did he make you feel dirty or something? What happened?
No, not
right,
at all.
Drew.
Close,
right? I'm not bad. I'm not a doctor, not but bad. I'm a hypochondriac. Not it's bad. Close.
I didn't know that about you until this visit. The hypochondriac couple can drive.
Oh, I'm nuts.
Something's definitely up with Leah.
You're leaving something out. Okay. He did something. Did he dirty you up?
Now,
or
here's
like...
the deal. Do you miss the guy?
Remember that chocolate milk commercial we're talking about?
Are you glad it didn't work out?
You know, I'm the one who broke it off because it just we were going in different places and that.
What? Did you have orgasms with him?
Yeah.
You did. Well, that's promising.
Do you know who
it?
Just said that?
Do you know what she's starring in this weekend?
I would like to
I was just curious.
I would really like to examine what do you mean by different directions?
Yeah.
Different directions was.
Be honest.
What's the deal? What happened?
You're anonymous on the radio. Just come on, break it down now.
Well, I mean, it was mainly.
Get a hand in. Okay.
It wasn't really about anything else. And, I mean, we liked each other, but.
Why? What was it? You're not telling us.
I was moving, and he was living somewhere else, so.
So it was literally, logistically, you're going in different directions.
Yeah, no, we were.
He was going northeast, and
also,
she was going
southwest.
I just wasn't, you know, I didn't want to just have sex for.
All right, listen, Lena, we're almost out of time. You have serious issues.
No, I don't know that.
Yes, she took 6 years off of sex. She diddled herself constantly for 6 years.
Might be a sane thing to do.
There's issues.
No, I don't have issues. I just decided that. I saw a lot of things with my friends. I saw a lot of.
Yeah, think about it. I'm defending this woman. I'm not the one that's
defending it because you have a young daughter who you're scared to death is going on a sexual rampage in mere moments.
No.
And you're freaked out, and you think, okay, as a dad, you're loving the sound of your daughter closing up shop and not coming back for 6 whole years. But shutting down sexually at 16 and not picking it up again until you've graduated from college, theoretically, is a long,
it's
dormant
something.
Period.
Yeah,
and
right.
It does suggest there's an underlying emotion. Emotional problem.
Something.
Thank you. And not a hypochondriac. As a matter of fact, a little of that would be good for me.
A lot.
Why don't you talk about absinthe for 45 minutes and put me to sleep again?
Marilyn Manson.
Oh my God, that was the worst show I ever heard.
Well, the guy was high.
Who cares?
You know, he showed up and he said, Adam, I bought you a gift. I said, what? And he said, absinthe. I said, well, what is this stuff? He said, that's this beautiful wine. I said, oh, all right. Well, thank you. He said, here, let me show you how you drink it. He drank my gift. I should have got him like a corn dog and taken like 3 big bites and handed it to him. There you go. There you go, Marilyn. That's my gift to you.
Is this girl off the air now?
Basically. Yes.
She was dull.
Fine. Tough. Don't worry.
You're brutal.
Because I
am brutal.
We'll edit this whole thing down to like a tight 17 minutes. It's
good.
It's going to clean up real
like
nice.
More sports.
Jesus.
At least you all need to know Jay suffers way more than he makes you suffer.
Plus, he thinks everything's the last comic standing. He's going to vote me off at the end of the show. Ralphie May's going to take over Sunday.
Ralphie May just had the surgery.
Oh, he did?
Had his lip staples shut.
He's a big boy, that's all.
No, he lost a lot of weight. He looks good. I lost like 100 pounds.
But he doesn't want to be known as the fat comic, but isn't that sort
of... How do you know that?
His essence?
How do you know that?
Listen, I make the scene too, buddy. I don't just sit, I don't tunnel out of the station, you know. I got connections, I know people, I can get in over at Kimmel. Anyone want to see a show over at Kimmel? I'll get you in.
I'm doing it tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
You want to see it, though?
I'm doing it.
Yeah, but you want to see it.
I'd love to see it. Can I see it?
I can get you in. You can see it.
Stapless stomach?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. Listen, I've been doing some research lately. I'm preparing from Jay's got a good book coming out about his experiences at Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
Having panic attacks. And.
Wow, nice.
There was a show on Loveline one time when I had a panic attack.
TV show.
You need a partner like this. Excuse me, I got to take a break. I walked off the set and walked into my dressing room, and Adam burst in the door. He goes, God damn it. If I have to spend one more second here than I absolutely have to, I'm going to kick your ass. Don't get out there and finish that show.
And what happened?
I
got back out there and you finished that show.
I broke it down.
Are you hurt or injured?
That's right. Rub some dirt
Private
on it.
Pyle, you will negotiate my obstacle.
That's right. But, Drew, sometimes isn't that a good thing?
I was sat there staring like
panic
a deer
is irrational.
Headlights. Yeah, they can't function.
It's like telling somebody with bronchitis not to cough.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying.
Julianne Nicholson, by the way, best actress at the U.S. Comedy Festival.
That's what
for
I
seeing
hear.
Her the people that opens tomorrow. Go ahead. What were you saying?
There's a buzz around this studio. True. If I came in and said, look, take all the time you need, can I get you anything? It would have gone on for another hour.
No. I needed another good 15, 20
You
minutes.
Felt like hell.
You needed to crap.
You felt like hell inside.
Right? That's what I was thinking. No,
and
I
did.
I just needed to catch my breath, basically.
You felt like hell inside, but on stage, could not tell.
Well, see,
you were fine.
I felt like I couldn't talk.
You
like
were fine.
I could get my thoughts together.
Well, that's a better show.
That's what you
As a matter of fact,
there you go.
Drew.
Got it.
Okay.
Which female guest host was on the show that 2 days?
No, it was Diane Farron, but it was John Favreau. I almost had a fight with him.
Yeah. John, let me tell you something about
Jake LaMotta, John Favreau?
Yeah. Oh, no, that was Rocky Marciano.
Oh,
you're right. But close. The thing is John Favreau is one of these guys that you think's a cool guy, but he's not as great as everyone thinks.
Well, he likes to mix it up a bit.
He likes to mix it up. Yeah. Drew, but here, let me tell you something. Drew is like the dog in a movie, the hot chick's dog, where the guy comes over from work, the smarmy guy, and he says, "Yeah, I'll help you start up your new computer." And the dog starts growling, and she's like, "Chipper, what are you doing? Stop that! What do you know? Go ahead, leave alone." I'm sorry. He never does that to anybody. But the dog knows. You know what I mean? Later on, this guy's going to try to drug her and rape her. You see what I'm saying? The dog knows. Listen to me. Jay, please.
I'm the dog.
Are you the dog?
He's the dog. What's it got to do with almost fighting
John
Favreau?
I'm sensing the trouble.
Smoke more pot.
I was saying, I eat it now, smart guy. Everyone says, Drew, leave John Favreau alone. He's a good guy. Well, I can't believe you have a problem with the guy. He's a great guy. But later on, turns out maybe the dog was right. That's all I'm saying.
What was your problem with Favreau?
He was telling some... We had one call that really shouldn't have been on the air. And he was a very, very mentally ill person. And I was like saying, look, just take your meds. Talk to our doctor. Let's get this. Favreau goes, hey, you don't do anything you don't want to do. And the guy's like contemplating hurting people and himself. And he's psychotic. I'm like, hey. You don't know what you're talking about. He's like, you doctors, you think you know. I'm like, this is really dangerous.
I wrote Swingers. Yeah. I can do whatever I want.
Chopped him in the Adam's apple, like, brother. That's the move.
It's from Jay Moore. Ha!
Hi, this is John Favreau.
Actually, we've kissed
him. He sounded really gay. Play that again.
We've kissed and made up. Actually,
play that again. Perfect.
Hold on, it's a CD. I push it out.
Is that me?
It's got a re-cue.
Julianne does it with her mind. She's on the others.
John Favreau, and you're listening to Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Now give me a milk mustache. Let me give me my own snowball back.
All right, we got a question for Jay.
Julianne Nicholson, best actress.
Duncan, 17 for Jay.
How's it going, Adam?
What's up, brother?
You're a funny man. Drew, you're awesome. Anderson, you're truly a genius. Jay, I've got a question for you. What comics did you look up to at a young age?
Richard Pryor, George Carlin, and Dennis Miller.
Really?
Yeah.
I bet you get asked that a lot.
For very different reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. All right.
You got any sexual problems?
Not really.
All right. Talk
to the... Nothing going on that far
That's the problem. Nothing's going on. You got to get out there and hustle, brother. Where do you live?
Olympia.
Olympia, Washington?
Yeah.
He's 17.
Walk around. Tell chicks you got sunshine.
You know what?
What?
You know what I? You know what I like?
It rains there, right?
What about comics is?
See, Julianne's laughing. I don't care
See,
what
that would
happens
work with
tonight.
Me. I have sunshine. I'm in.
Yeah. Hey, I got sunshine, girl.
I like comics. You know, if you ask guys in bands who their influences were, they're always so pretentious, and they pick a bunch of names. You
yeah,
never
I'll
heard
be in
of.
A band. This is my impression of every guy in a band. Ask me the question. Right. This is the first syllable every time. Go ahead.
Who were some of your influences musically?
It's always that like self-masturbatory.
Right.
Yeah. Let me get my fake reading glasses.
More job. How'd you come up with the name?
Well. Right.
The next question.
Yeah.
No. But here's what they do. Whenever you ask a band member like who your influences were, they give you a bunch of names, and those old black blues guys. Peekaboo Jackson.
Peekaboo Jackson.
And you're always like, yeah, he's cool, because you don't want to sound like an idiot because you never heard of him. They'll never go like, you know, Rush and Styx.
Yeah.
You know, it's always like a bunch of old blues guys.
They
particularly pick guys you haven't heard of, so they sound much smarter than you.
The coolest one I ever heard was on that Jane's Addiction Soul Kiss. It's pretty bad, but there's a great scene where some old lady asks Perry Farrell, like, what kind of music do you do? And he said, we're kind of a cross between Duke Ellington and Bad Brains.
You gotta love a kid for trying.
I thought, yeah.
That's good.
It's perfect, too. And the guy, and then the old man goes, what the hell is a bad brain? But well, Perry Farrell is not in Seeing Other People that opens tomorrow on 16 screens.
That's right.
With Julianne Nicholson, the star of the movie.
J-Mar.
Best actress
I do full
award.
Frontal nudity in this movie.
Do you?
No.
Oh.
I did, and they cut it out.
Really?
It was too disturbing.
It's there. It's implied.
It is implied.
You get a lot of butt.
You saw it.
I saw it.
All right.
Poor Julianne.
I averted my eyes. No, I was...
Poor Julianne.
I give you your
Method
privacy.
Acting. She was into
There's
it.
A lot of my butt in this movie.
But Jay's considered one of the better-looking comedians working. I mean,
it's between Louis Anderson, me.
Little Louis?
Little Louis. He says hi.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot of
Hackett.
Competition in the looks department.
I like to consider myself a looker. Oh, to be in Nagasaki where the women chew the baki and the men say, woo, wacky woo. Dr. Drew.
So all right. Buddy Hackett on Golden Pond. All right, let's take a break.
Oh,
Jay Moore here tonight. Julianne Nicholson also here tonight. Seeing Other People, name of the movie, coming out this weekend.
Tomorrow.
That is tomorrow, Friday.
Yeah.
Also, Drew.
Drew doesn't need any help with those two chicks,
Drew's
those
joint.
Two automatron bots walking around.
Yeah, that's right. All right, one of them.
But right now, everyone, seriously, on Amazon.com, pre-order. Gasping for Airtime.
Oh, you can pre-order your book.
Oh, hell, yeah. This is big leagues, brother. Hyperion.
When's it out?
June 9th.
All right.
A month.
That's good.
Well, but Julianne Nicholson's hot and fantastic and sexy. Mm-hmm. So while during the break, go to IMDb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look her up.
She doesn't have a website.
Right.
And I fell in love with her.
We're going to take a little break.
True.
Drew's going to IMDb right now, and we'll be right back after this. Phone number 1-800-LVE-191. Julianne Nicholson is here tonight. Jay Moore, Seeing Other People's the name of the movie. Jay Moore is like some 50s character. He sees everyone in the hall. Hey, kid, looking good. What's your name again?
That's right,
kid?
Baby.
Yeah, here's a quarter. Looking good. Keep up the good work. Chris, hey, buddy, nice job on the board. Looking good. Looking sharp. All right.
That's how it goes, man.
Could you get these shoes polished for me?
Hey, now go get your shine box, Chris, huh?
Yeah, you want a nip? You want a nip? No, you're good. Okay.
Hey, Lauren, cute kid. You're adorable. Keep it up. But that's what? I'm nice to people?
No, it's good.
Everyone thinks I'm a jerk.
No. It just comes across.
Panic disorder, though.
It's sincere. Now, how does the panic...
It does not come across. Ask Lauren right now and ask Chris if they think I'm being... I pat him on the back and he's just walking by for no reason.
You gave him a cracker, you pat him on the head like Benny Hill would do the little ball.
Were you Mexican?
Kid.
Yeah, you got to be nice to them. They'll rise up.
Kid. Yeah, no.
You got to be nice to the Mexicans.
They'll rise up. That's cool.
They'll rise up. But
yo, dude, that's messed up.
Scratch themselves and be back for another nap. Don't worry. Now, tell me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they'll rise up. All right, now, look. Hold on, Jay. I want to talk about your panic disorder because Drew. Yeah, I want to let people know that if the Dr. Drews of the world and the Jay Moores of the world can have panic disorder,
then they should buy my book.
Then they should buy.
And I'll
book.
Come back on before the book comes out, and we can do a whole thing about it.
What is yeah.
how as opposed to taking away from the Julianne Nicholson time?
Give us a panic disorder story. Saturday Night Live.
You're on SNL.
It's irrational.
Cameras rolling.
I was not in any sketches for like the fifth week in a row, and
right.
I sat in my dressing room, and Roseanne was the host, and I sat and I positioned my chair in my dressing room so that it was directly under the TV that hangs from the ceiling, so that if it fell, I would be killed. And
gee, why was he panicking?
No, yeah. It's just right. Most depressed ever. And then as I just after sketch, and like the sketches suck, you know, sometimes.
Right.
And then I just sat there and I thought, oh, I can't catch my breath. And then all of a sudden I thought, oh my God, I can't catch my breath. And I have to crap and throw up and everything on the inside of me has to be on the inside of me. And then I'm leaving. Like,
yeah,
I'm dying. Yeah. And I ran all the way to the hospital on 2nd Avenue.
The thing I find interesting about it is you didn't have a sketch that night.
Like, he was depressed.
I understand, but my instinct would be he's doing a sketch at the end of the night, yeah. And the panic attack kicks in.
No, but see, that's I'm in show business. I'm a comic, so that's when everything's working out. That's stimulus response. The stimulus is you hand in a sketch, you write
it. But he doesn't have the stuff to focus on. He gets the panic.
Right.
For me, it was all lack of structure.
Yeah.
It feels like depression. It seems
it
a weird place for a panic to come in.
Oh, depression. Mine was all depression.
It was.
Oh, depression is a good cause for panic and generalized anxiety, both.
Really?
Yeah.
But panic isn't as bad as... Panic's the worst thing in the world because it's so irrational, like nothing causes it.
Right. So your heart just starts...
No, you're dying. You are absolutely
you can't
dying.
Really describe it. You
someone's
can't
pushing
it.
You ever, like, if you push in on your Adam's apple,
mm-hmm.
It's like that feeling all the time, and you have to crap, and then, like...
Every person somatically feels it differently, but in the brain, it's a discharge that's completely dysregulated.
Of endorphins and adrenaline.
Imagine you just jumped off the Titanic in the ocean, you're starting to get sucked down.
Right.
I have to fight to get out of this world.
But you're just sitting there.
Right.
And so you can't... Yeah. At least you could be physically active.
You just add a movie watching the screen, and all of a sudden,
pow,
the car's on fire, and your seatbelt won't come loose.
Right.
Well, I've never had one, but I picture it like kind of like Fred Sanford when he would say he's coming with us.
But some people, it's that way. For me, it felt like I was either having a seizure or going crazy because your mind races out of control. You feel like
so
it's completely.
What is the best move? Let's say you can't get to a hospital. Did you actually went to a hospital?
I ran to the hospital, and I always thought I was going to pass out too, which is weird because you don't pass out when your heart races; you pass when it drops.
Yeah, mm-hmm. People get the feeling they're going to pass out. Well, you can hyperventilate till you pass out.
I ran home, and my roommate had Valium, and I'd never taken Valium before. Smart. And I called my dad and mom, because my mom's a nurse, and my dad
really?
Didn't know it all. And I said, if I take this Valium, what'll happen? And my dad's like, let me look it up in the PED. What is it called?
PDR.
The PDR. Oh, it says here, it cures anxiety.
It says PFD, go ahead.
And I was like, gulp. And then I just sat in the bathtub for a little while. In water that unfortunately was not deep enough to drown me.
I can't believe you called your dad to do some drugs, though.
No, but that look, no,
medicine,
because I'm a bit of a pillowphobe, so I didn't want to take something like in case I was allergic to it.
All right,
it's weird.
All right. So you called your dad, you said cool. So you took
and I took it, and then feeling normal became absolutely euphoric.
Mm. Oh yeah.
And one of the chapters of the book is nothing is as beautiful as having things the way they were.
Yeah.
And just being normal and having normal, like, fear and pissed offness, festivity. And then I went back to the show, and I was, like, just absolutely euphoric. And I was just telling everyone I had a panic attack.
You went back the next day or that
night? No, that night. It was, like, in the middle of a show. And then Sarah Silverman said, that's a panic attack. You have to go see my doctor, Noelle Taylor. She saved my life.
Go ahead.
And then I left a message, and then the doctor called me back and said she could see me first thing Monday, so then I only had to get through Sunday. And then she said, you just have a real basic panic disorder. It's how many panic attacks have you had? I said I had about 3.
But you were depressed. Did she treat the depression?
No, I wasn't. I never had depression, really.
You sat on the TV waiting for it to fall on your head.
It's this place. But that's appropriate depression. I'm not working at the place I'm supposed to. It's situational depression. That's not like I wake up depressed. I'm happy all the time. Julianne Nicholson, best actress. Bipolar. Other people.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so
I'm so not.
Let me ask this. Do people who have more brain cells to rub together, do they have panic attack more so than
I believe so.
I think it's that's we've talked about.
Well, that's convenient, Jay.
we talked about that the the autonomic tone you and I have talked about. You're either the engine's running high, engine's running low.
Right. Yeah. He's got a Cox 049 engine buzzing in his brain. It's just, yeah, you too.
Yeah. You?
It's not good for anything.
Right, you?
I got the engine from the African Queen. just kind of chugging a smoke balloon out, barely moving.
Julianne Nicholson.
Stop it.
Why?
I have not had a panic attack.
You haven't?
No.
You're one of those people.
Throw it in there. Yeah.
You've had anxiety attacks,
I've had,
though.
Yeah, big anxiety.
Same thing.
But never that, like, not total pressure.
Not total.
You know, the synonym.
My heart's going to stop thing.
I'm sorry, sweetheart.
No, that's. I'm done for another 10
now minutes. Now, what's the anxiety attack?
Anxiety, the synonym is fear. No, anxiety, the synonym in Webster's is care. Mm-hmm. And in panic, the synonym is fear. Mm-hmm. So they're like complete opposites by definition. Anxiety is stimulus response. Your boss is yelling at you, and then eventually, if he keeps yelling at you and yelling at you, then one day you're driving to work and you get an anxiety attack, and that's the building where you get yelled at.
Like right now?
Right.
Julia Nicholson? You guys are all talking and I'm not, and my heart's starting to break.
Is it really?
No.
Just why can't you be like, you could be like the Rolando Blackman on like the Mavericks and just sit back in the cut, you get a pass, drain your three every once in a while, and you jog back up the court.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
Rolando Blackman.
You know, if I knew who he was, I would try to be like him.
Kyle?
Colored guy.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, I'll work that.
You're 19?
Yeah.
You're 19. He's not prone to panic attacks.
Julianne Nicholson.
Kyle.
African Queen.
What's your question?
Yeah.
Funky Father.
All right. I'm done with Kyle.
Okay.
All right. I said many years ago we should stop talking to guys on
the
show.
Oh, you have said that and been right. You have been right.
Tiffany? Tiffany?
Yeah, hi.
Well, they got a double clutch on the... First one must have just been for air.
Tiffany's 21. What's going on?
Oh, I have a problem. I'm going out on a limb calling y'all.
All right, go ahead.
Around a year and a half ago, they said I had cervical cancer.
They said it. Did they treat it?
Yeah, they froze my cervix, and they removed all the cancerous cells, and they said that everything was fine, that it shouldn't recur.
Let me just stop you for a second. Did you have a conization also, or just the cryotherapy?
I don't remember. Right. I think it was just the cryotherapy.
There's a study just came out this week that showed that something we've kind of talked about a little bit, but most of the cervical cancers, the ones at least that are really meaningful, occur just at the mouth of the cervix. The cervix is like a donut with a hole in the middle of it, mm-hmm. and most of it occurs right in the hole in the middle, and the conizations really cut that mm-hmm. out. They cut the middle out. And this study just came out that showed that women that had that procedure have a much, much higher incidence of miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, mm-hmm. I've been
like, whatever, Drew, let me keep going. That's very Buddhist to cut out the hole.
Yeah. I was just thinking about adding my creamy filling. That's all I can
think
about.
Oh, you're disgusting, Julianne Nicholson.
Yeah.
No.
All
right. But my problem is I've been engaged for a year and a half, and I love my fiancé, and I want to pleasure him, and I want to be with him, and all the emotional attachments that come with it. But my problem is ever since I've had that surgery, it hurts, and I don't want to talk to him about it. I've gone to doctors, and they said there's no scar tissue, there's nothing, and I'm just
all
don't
right,
know
hold,
what to do anymore.
Hold on a second. Hold mm-hmm. on now. So you've had recent pap smears, right?
Yes.
Have you? And recently there's no recurrence, there's no wart virus, there's nothing like that?
There's nothing.
And have you had an ultrasound to see if there's some other problem that might be causing the pain, like endometriosis?
I've been in the hospital for a month and a half. I tried everything.
You were in the hospital for a month and a half?
Yeah, because they were running tests. I was in and out for a month and a half.
She even called Jay's dad at one point. Which broke down.
He's a know-it-all.
He knows.
You weren't in the hospital for a month and a half.
She's at her wit's end, Jay.
You were in the hospital for a month and a half?
Well, the first time I was in because my stomach swelled up. And then in and out, I barely
All right, hold Tiffany. On. Wait,
I'm going to a tunnel.
Wait a minute. The phone's gone all funky.
I know, but here,
now you think something's up with
it. Now we got to get to the next stuff. Yeah. Now
we do?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. We can't just label her nuts and move forward?
No.
No?
You can, but we're not going
Tiffany?
To.
Tiffany?
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Okay.
Well, just give me a yes or no. Were you sexually abused growing up?
No.
That was a no?
There's a faint no. Yeah,
there's a faint no.
No, but the whole thing's, what's going on with this show?
It's the phone. Her phone's messed up.
It's the world famous K-Rock. I mean,
if it's not our phone, it's hers.
Stryker, you can put a chimp behind the board and do what he does.
Stryker's a pro. There's no doubt about it.
And that's his real name.
All right, so she's had extensive evaluation. She's got somatic preoccupations, much like Jay Moore. And they can't explain it. It's something called dyspareunia, which is pain with intercourse. It could be 100 different things. All she can really do is keep going back and try to look for an explanation. I will tell you, though, that that 9 times out of 10, plus, when women have unexplained pelvic pain, it ends up being a sexual abuse history.
Nate?
Yeah. In the meantime, keep going down on him like you're drowning and his nuts have oxygen.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Jane Moore.
Well, look.
She said she wants to pleasure him.
Coming out of the movie this week?
She said, I really want to pleasure him, but it hurts.
It's true. Like, women are always like, I don't know what to do. And it just
put the tip in.
Yeah, get in, get going.
Doesn't he know how to be gentle? He's got to be like a savage and, like, you know, do the whole thing every time, get through the whole donut?
But it takes all kinds.
It does.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Nate?
Yeah.
Savage. You're 17.
Yeah, hey, guys, what's up?
What's happening?
I was calling to ask Drew what the dangers are with an irregular bowel movement is.
What do you mean by that?
Julia
Nicholson?
Yeah.
The movie comes out like a topiary.
Quite an ouch.
From, like, when I was in the sixth grade up until about a year ago, I used to, like, I wouldn't take a dump very much at all, like...
Hold on, I'm writing. Slow down. Go ahead. All right, Nate.
All right, like, once a month, a lot of times.
Once a month.
Oh, my God, Elvis!
Once a month?
Yeah.
Not once a month.
No, it really was. I mean, it was really bad. But over the past year, it's gotten a whole lot better, to where, like, I do it, like, once every...
Were you holding your stool intentionally?
At first, like, it didn't, like, I never had the movement or whatever, but then when I did, like, it hurt too much, so I would just stop and be like, screw it, I'll do it later, and it just kind of built up each time.
You would hurt. Do you have a hemorrhoids or something?
A what? Well, actually, it's weird because only until this past year when it's actually been getting better have I started getting, like, a hemorrhoid there and stuff.
Well, why did it hurt is my question.
What do you mean? Because...
All right, listen. He's
Are you retarded? What do you mean, why does it hurt?
He doesn't track.
It's not as wide as
No, it? Not you, him.
Yeah.
No.
I thought you said I'm all right, Spider.
I think when he says holding his bowel, too, I mean, I think he actually...
In his hands.
Many of us actually hold. Right. Go see a doctor.
Yeah, now, here's the deal. You need to take bulk. You need to take stools.
Yeah.
He could be some sort of...
Whoa! See? 3-point goal!
Pretty unusual. I mean, really, the first thing to do is to...
You like that one? See my girl in the cut?
To look at his bowel function.
Another great old blues singer.
He may need a colonoscopy. He needs to be on bulk. He needs to be on a school
software.
He may have some rectal pathology that
needs to be dealt with. Julia Nicholson, baseline 3-point goal! That's how you do it, girl!
Okay.
Who needs Sharon Osbourne when you got Drew?
Yeah. All right.
Is that a real thing?
Yes.
Yes.
Fecal hoarding?
I've seen x-rays of it. It's not.
Pretty. Why?
Was it a friend? No. It was
the x-rays usually you see from people that are laxative abusers that their bowel becomes atonic and that nothing moves and just fills up. That's the x-ray usually you see.
I wrestle and we all abuse it.
There are lots of descriptions of little kids holding their bowel and hoarding.
It was a young girl. Yeah. It was like 12, 13 years old. Yeah.
A 7-year-old male to do this is pretty wild. So that's why you got to go on the medical.
Did she have a cousin named Susie?
What are the records? What are the?
I don't know.
You know, maybe a month. Month seems like a pretty good.
It's a pretty good.
Pretty good run.
The problem is the bowel again can become atonic and stop functioning.
Right.
Then they can have to remove it. It can be a big mess.
All right.
Ba-dum-bum.
And by the way, here's something.
Oh, and one.
Some of what
she goes to the line.
Interested in is I'm very regular. Drew is good for every other day, and that's everyone leads you to believe that if you go, the more you go, the healthier you are.
No.
Drew
no.
says no.
No, it's ridiculous.
Drew Should be says, once no. a day. No,
once a day approximately. Yeah.
But I go like 3 times in the morning just because I drink so much coffee.
Yeah,
and if I have like fruit and stuff,
I just made.
You did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Mr. Hanky.
Chris, we're gonna need you to, we got a little cleanup aisle 3 here. All right,
let's you people are good with your hands, right?
Let's take a break. Jane Moore's here. Julianne, is it Julianne?
Julianne.
Oh, give her go.
I almost said Juliana. That's why.
No, thank you.
That's Julianne. Right. Julianne Nicholson is here tonight. We will take ourselves a quick break. When we
Jack Nicholson's
back?
Niece.
Drew? No, really?
No.
Will it make it more interesting?
Yes, it could. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. We come back. We'll have a great call.
A great call. After this. The audience.
I draw a nice thing like that.
On a fold?
A V. There's a V.
Because
a dark
I'm obsessed.
Right. I draw the triangle.
Right. Devil's triangle.
You gotta trim it up. It shouldn't look like, you know, somebody dropped a pork chop on the barbershop floor. You have to take care of it.
Here's
the
dog's name again?
Huh? My dog's name is Shirley. Oh.
Here's what it should look like. It should look like you didn't trim it, but it still looks good.
Yeah. No, I think it should look like you trim. I think it's very sexy if you trim it.
Yeah, but the idea. Well, here's the thing.
It's your idea.
He's saying it should be a design. He's saying it should be a design. Shouldn't be no design.
Now, I'm not saying lightning bolts and thunder and, you know, the freaking kiss.
No, I'm saying.
I'm saying mohawk or triangle.
I'm saying. Remember, I think Jimmy Page was Zozo or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Zeppelin signs. No, here's what I'm saying. Here's what we want out of a woman. We want them, we don't want to know they've had plastic surgery, for instance. It's the same with the vaginal hair. What I'm saying is woman can get a little collagen injection in her lips, and it can look nice. If we don't notice, it looks like she just has beautiful, full lips. It's the same with the hair downstairs. We don't want to go, oh, she did.
No, no, stop saying we.
We.
Yeah, great strategy.
We.
I agree with them.
I'm saying we.
It's great.
Me too.
Excellent.
You would be with me on this if you would just.
Perfect.
If you could.
I think a woman getting waxed is incredibly sexy.
But do you want to see and know that she's been waxed? Or you
yeah,
just
because
think
she pulled it together, man.
Right,
we were rolling out that night. She said, let me keep the moving parts clean.
True.
Somebody's going to be down there doing some work. Let me get the mohawk rocking and keep the backside, you know, svelte.
You guys can still hang. You can hang. That's right.
I'm not like you, like Fidel Castro eating a London broil. Like, you know, keep it really bushy, but don't let me know that you didn't really do it on purpose. Stop.
No, I didn't say really. Did I say really bushy at any point?
No, like
you said
it.
Make it look like you haven't groomed it, but groom it.
Yes, make it look natural. But we all know.
Naturally tame.
Just like a nice makeup job. Just like when you
when they bend
your
over.
Hair. We don't want to know it's you
when they bend
blonde,
over.
It look like
I'm writing all of this down. I've got
Thank
it all.
When they bend over, do you want to see hair?
No, but.
So then what are you talking
but
about?
If they do a good,
that's a wax.
If they do a good job, we don't know. You see, that's what I'm
saying.
Like, it's a fade.
Let's go! Don't wax.
Remember the absinthe call show?
No, you're
right. This is worse. This is
no way.
Yes,
bite your tongue.
Way worse. Rochelle, go ahead.
Hello?
We're becoming worse.
Yeah. And by the way, we can bounce back Sunday. You'll not ask me back to be back on the show, Jay.
That, you know what? That'll be the death knell of my career.
That's what I'm saying.
So what just, Pluto Nash couldn't do, you'll do.
You're coming back. You're coming back to talk about your book.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I agree with you.
Yeah. Rochelle?
Yeah?
Bush.
What's happening?
You can hear me. Yeah. I'm wondering, I can't orgasm during sex through penetration.
Yeah, that's most,
very normal.
Most women.
What's that?
That's most women, right? Yeah.
Most.
Oh, well.
All.
What?
Well, it's irritating because I can come from oral sex and by myself, but I want to come with my boyfriend, and I can't.
It's not going to happen.
I like
the recap, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll tell you again.
Yeah.
So
you can all now
way?
you can masturbate during the act.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for
well,
women.
Yeah, we do that, but
it's overwhelming. Like, the clit has a panic attack.
And then it calls my father.
It calls Jay's dad. When the pink phone starts ringing at the Moore household, Jay's dad's like, uh-oh.
Little man in the boat hotline.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
What's wrong with self-manipulation during intercourse?
Yeah, what's wrong? Oh, you're asking me? Women
no, I'm asking her.
Women become overwhelmed.
I'm asking you. I'm asking her.
Wait till she tells
it's
you the same.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I become overwhelmed.
No, again.
I got to wait that out?
All right, here's the deal. We were reviewing this an awful lot. Women have a spectrum of sexual response. The significant majority will never have orgasm during intercourse. There's about 20-30% will have it generally with intercourse one time or with oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
Only with oral sex. And then, and there's about 10% that will have multiple orgasms. Jay's
wife. Yeah. Wow.
Stuff falls out all the time.
Yeah. You better learn how to fake it with that guy on top of you because he'll go nuts on you.
I'll Favreau her ass.
All right. Well, then.
All right. So you're still ahead. You're ahead of the game at 19. That you're having it orally with your boyfriend.
And with masturbation, too.
That's masturbation.
Many women 18 to 22 don't orgasm at all.
Can you masturbate now?
Now?
I go to break. Not right now, Jay. Relax.
I was like, no way.
But, Rochelle, let me
ask. Are you work or something?
You heard this FCC thing that's going on? We got to watch the show.
She said come 5 times.
Let me ask you real quick, Rochelle. If you helped yourself out when your boyfriend was giving you intercourse, do you think you could have an orgasm?
Yeah, I do. That's the way we normally do it, or I just, while...
Oh, so welcome to the big leagues, honey. That's how it goes.
He's in you. Yeah, he's in you, and you're having an orgasm,
that's
right?
Cut in 10 seconds.
Can you squirt?
All right. Relax. Okay.
What?
All right, we got to take a break.
No, you can't.
We got to take a break. We got to talk to Jay, and we'll be
Julia Nicholson.
Yeah, but we don't need to talk to her. We'll be right back after this.
All right.
Everybody, it's Loveline, Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Yes, Drew?
Yeah.
You got a call worked out?
I'm looking at it.
Julianne Nicholson is here. Jay Moore is here. Name of the movie? Seeing Other People. It's coming out tomorrow. Now we're less than 24 hours away from the movie.
Oh, you can feel it.
Very exciting.
Tension is building. Also, you can find Drew with the Olsen twins coming out tomorrow as well. All right. Drew, how many screens do you think that movie you're in is going to be released in? Like 3,000 or something?
2,000.
It's crazy, right?
Well, we're going to kill him.
Yeah.
We're in 14 screens. Gavin Pallone's got two of them in his house.
There are 14 screens. They're all back-to-back. They're all behind each other. Yeah, they're stacked like a French pastry.
Hey, before I wanted to bring up a topic. It's going to be a little boring, but not too bad. Jay's got a book coming out.
Sure.
What's it called?
Gasping for airtime.
Gasping for airtime. About panic disorder.
Get it?
Very self-indulgent. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of preparing for another book, too, and I was talking to... What I'm doing is doing lots and lots of interviews of people that have made major, major changes in their life. The people that have, like, lost 300 pounds or gotten off drugs. These
Julianne.
Right.
You should have seen me before.
Before seeing other people?
She's huge,
yeah. And what's really interesting to me, though, every single person I've talked to, so far I've only done a bunch of interviews of women. I suspect it'll be the same with men, but when you get right down to it, they will say, well, I had this moment of clarity, or I had some moment where I could really see myself. And every single person has said, I saw myself and I was disgusted. And when I felt disgust,
right,
then I could make change.
Not only by their physical appearance, but just by their life.
Where they were. Because I say to them, you know, it's one was saying, I was on an IV, I was trying on drugs, and it was just the bottom. It was awful. It was horrible. I was so tired. And I said, well, what did you feel? Well, I was disgusted. I thought, every single person has said that to me. We don't really think about the power of disgust and how if we can be, if we need the change, if we can really feel how we are.
What about the power? That just reinforces how self-obsessed we are. Like your health, you don't care what you do.
But
you lose all your baby's money.
It's really denial, though, isn't it?
And then when you personally are disgusted, well, now we got to make changes.
Right.
Well, it's all denial before then. You would have been disgusted before then if you would have let it in. But when you actually see it, then you're... feel the disgust.
So how do we get to that level?
That's the
question.
We're
disgusted
with
ourselves.
Question. So I was hoping you, Adam, could help me with that.
Well, so once
you see him disgusted every day, all the time.
Sometimes I'll tuck my legs,
and that's disgusting.
Yeah,
So Survivor, when you do that dance, that's kind of disgusting.
Yeah. So we should get to the disgust level faster.
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
You guys want some donuts?
That's disgusting.
All right, let's get to the phones here. And speak to Tara. Tara, what's happening? You're 18.
Yes, I have a comfort problem that I really don't understand too much.
What kind of problem?
Okay, it's like I've been with just like the biggest problem in general is like the guy I've been with for 3 years. He's a psycho, basically. And I know exactly what I want, which is to not be with him. And I know I want to move away from here. And I know exactly what I want. But it's like every time I even try to do it, I just can't go. I just get too scared and I just go right back.
You gotta get disgusted with yourself.
What are you afraid of?
I have no idea. It's like the man I think about, like, he's really good at breaking me down, tells me I can never have anybody but him and I'm not good enough for anybody.
I know what you should be afraid of. The fact that you are going to repeat this cycle for the rest of your life.
That's
your,
what I'm
your children
of.
Are going to repeat it, too.
And your daughters are going to do it. And your whole life, you're going to be with guys that tear you down and tell you you're not worth anything.
No,
but she will be.
But
unless
she
makes
doesn't
a change.
Have to be. That's the point.
Of course. But women that are abused are.
Well, your dad, or your parents set up this cycle. They set up the wiring that sort of
puts.
I don't always agree with that. Why can't she just be a
psycho? Well, you can be. You can be.
Yeah.
Her mom was psycho.
Yeah.
Don't pull a Favreau on True. He'll freak on you, man.
There's various
and
theories.
Then have a panic attack.
There actually isn't
back in here.
Good. Feeling short of breath.
Have to call Jay's dad.
Oh, I love it. It's really funny.
What's his name?
John.
John.
Right. I got to call John.
Call John.
Or we can call Carlos.
Oh, that's Chris's dad. He's a cop. Go ahead.
I forgot.
He knows where the brothel was.
Where is it? That the fact is that people don't really know exactly why this biological wiring gets put in place, but people talk about it in terms of there being these love maps, these maps of what it is to feel intimate with somebody. And the only way you can feel that caring connection is through reenacting things that were representative of those things you knew as nurturing and caring, your parents. And if they were abusive, you find those people and reenact it over and over
again. How old is your boyfriend?
He's 22.
All right.
Yeah, so there's no coincidence that he's got someone younger and moldable like you that will, you know, heed his beck and call. You already know the answer to this. It drives me crazy.
And here's the thing, Tara. I was talking a few minutes ago about people that make big change in their life, and they see themselves for what they are in a clear moment. It disgusts them, and then the way they get out is by forming relationships with people who actually appreciate them and care about them. So you need other relationships with people that are not in this cycle of abuse, okay?
And doing stuff that makes you feel good outside of the relationship.
Ultimately,
that's what I try to do. Like, I try talking.
But you got to have these relationships. You got to have a stable, intimate relationship with peers, preferably women, who support you when you make this move.
All right. What about that sort of constant refrain where they go, I keep trying, but I can't.
Yeah.
They're lying.
You keep putting me down, and
they
I
like
don't
it.
Know what to do.
They like it.
Well, they love it.
They
well,
love it.
Even more.
They at least know
Didn't
it.
They read Conversations with God? They love it. That's why they keep doing it.
Should what? You be constantly...
Didn't they read House of God by Shem?
House of God about the residents, the doctors? Wow.
One of the three stooges.
They asked me well read. The publisher asked me, they said...
By Shem.
Shem. No, Shem.
He said, which three stooges?
No, no. The publisher said, put two books together so we could say your book is a cross between A and B. And I handed it in and I mailed it to him. I said, it's a cross between Bukowski, Post Office, and House of God by Shem.
Nice.
And they emailed me, could you pick two other books?
Nobody knew them.
Nobody knew who they were, but that's exactly what it is.
I thought it would be Guy Lombardo and Bad Brains.
You know what? That's enough.
All right, sorry.
That is enough.
All right, there's a little callback. Okay, so should people keep repeating to themselves, I can't do this, or it never works?
No,
you know
no.
what I mean?
Obviously, you got to get that thinking changed.
All right.
But the, really, honestly...
But she loves it, Drew.
Let me. Did I propose to you my brain in the jar question? This is
yes.
a good one for Jay.
Yeah.
Should I propose it tonight?
I if I can
yeah, no, I like it. I like it. I like it already.
Propose my, you know, give your dad a hand or go down on your mom scenario. Yeah.
Okay.
I'd go okay. all dad all
Jay,
the way.
If you could.
Sure. You got the Shell answer man at home.
If Why you not? Could.
A little payback for all.
Son, that's not how you do it. Let me hold your ears.
Son, it says here in the DSM-4 that you shouldn't use your forefinger and thumb to create a circle.
What's with the ring? Grip it. Not pink, purple.
Wait a minute. All right.
I shouldn't open up like this.
True. So, do the jar.
Julianne Nicholson, best actress, damn it.
What's the movie again?
Who cares? What are you going to say?
14 screens.
Like, this is going to help.
Okay, I'm
seeing other people.
People are
Go
calling
ahead.
Up because they can't masturbate.
If you could sign up to be a brain in a jar, we're going to take your brain out, put it in a jar, and let's just is a hypothetical completely. We could dial into your experience. Listen to this.
I'm listening.
It's not a true story. We're not going to get Jay's brain out and put it in a mason jar.
But I get it back?
The point is, it's not even a real scenario, but it's a philosophical question. Which
I'm
is,
with you.
If you could be a brain in a jar, and we could dial into that brain's experience, the perfect life. And as the brain in the jar, you would have no difference in your experience, say from what you're experiencing right now. You would think you were living your life. You wouldn't know you were a brain in a jar. And even if that perfect life didn't suit you perfectly, you could change it in time to make it perfect. Okay, you could make it absolutely the perfect life, and you wouldn't know you were a brain in a jar. Would you sign up for that?
No.
Yeah. Okay. No.
Because I wouldn't trade anything. This is going to sound like I'm full of S, but I'm not. I wouldn't trade a single moment of my journey thus far, good or bad.
Yeah. So, hang on, sidebar. Mm-hmm. This chick has big BS, right? I didn't know that. Okay. All right. Okay. So you
what?
We can hear you.
What did you say?
You like life the way it is. But think about
what, I wouldn't trade places.
What is it about this life that is so you cherish so much that you wouldn't want to be the brain in a jar?
Because if I give you the right answers, it's gonna surprise you so much that you're going to think I'm full of it. I'm lying.
I believe you so far.
I am here. God is living experientially through me.
But you have the same experience in the brain in the jar.
But you already told me it's not the same experience. So I know that going in.
You'd know it going in, but once you were in, you wouldn't
but
know
But I
it.
Know it going in.
You know it going in, correct.
And
correct.
I know it's a simulated right. great going life.
In. And what is and it, you, what do you lose by being the brain in the jar?
Pass the bong, dude.
No kidding.
Can I have that lighter, hands?
Yeah.
You know, Bruce Lee was very bad, man. He could...
Yeah. Who the hell are you, Donald Sutherland? You're freaking me out.
My friend did a movie with Donald Sutherland, and he shows up on set. It was Henry Thomas, and he goes, "Hey, what do you got there?" And he goes, "Coffee." He goes, "Coffee? Do you want pancreatic cancer?" Like the first day he met him, he's like, "No." So what's the point?
Well, my point is that even you would experience other people, but the one thing you would not be able to do is other people experience you. That's the only thing you wouldn't have as a brain in the jar, is other people experiencing you.
Isn't that an Alice in Chains song? Ooh, right? The brain in the jar.
I'm talking to Julianne now. You guys are out. Right?
That's the only thing. Right.
Because as the brain in the jar, you would experience others, but they wouldn't experience you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, my point is that the other is so critical to our life, to meaning in our life. Not only do we have to experience others, but we must be experienced by.
How do you do this every night, Adam?
So. I tuned out a long
boring.
Time ago.
Yeah, all right, here we go.
Be more funny. Don't you hate pants?
Now listen.
Yeah, I'm listening.
True.
Yeah, Adam.
Who's the tard in the hamper that came up with that scenario?
That's old.
Was that you?
No, they're philosophers.
Drew tried to float this a month ago. I didn't know what he's talking about. Okay, what he's saying is you can have a euphoric life, except for you would know that it
going
wasn't.
In. You would
you,
know that
you would
wasn't
know
real.
Going in. That it wouldn't actually be your life.
Would you die?
Whatever you want.
I'd take the euphoric life. Who knows? Who cares? But here's.
But this is a visit, though.
This life?
Absolutely.
Where are we going after this?
That's the whole thing.
We don't know.
You can't have fear and faith at the same time. You got to extend. You got to extend the faith celestially. You know.
Okay.
So if you go in and you're the brain in the jar and you don't know, you know.
Yeah. And what if there's an earthquake and it falls off?
Yes!
Your brain is jumping around like a goldfish.
Oh, God, you are good. Kimmel's holding you back, dude.
Steve?
Yep.
What's up?
How you doing, Adam?
Good.
I have a question regarding drugs and during pregnancy, drug use during pregnancy.
Yeah, first off, we could put your dork in some Tupperware. All right, go ahead.
It would be a dork in a jar.
A dork in a jar. Right. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, okay.
Swing and a miss, that's two.
What are you going to do?
My ex used drugs during her pregnancy. I've just found this out. Mm-hmm. My son's 18 months old. I have full custody. She's no longer in the picture.
What kind of drugs?
She was using coke, crystal meth, and crack.
Oh. And crack. Mm-hmm. All right.
How did you not know? Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the good news is, the sort of literature on this is...
But he didn't ask his question yet.
So he wants to know what this effects on the kid are going to be.
Well, yeah, do you see any effects of the kid now?
As of now, no.
My son's the same age.
Most? You have an 18-month-old?
19, yeah.
Oh, good time.
6'4", 220.
He's already got a scholarship. He's got a free ride to Clemson.
Nice.
Word. SEC.
All right.
And here's the deal, Steve, is that there's a lot, there's still some controversy about this. For a long time, we thought particularly the amphetamines were going to cause significant developmental and intellectual problems in kids. And indeed, a lot of them do have trouble up until about the age of first grade. And around first grade, they seem to all kind of, it sorts itself out a bit, that they kind of catch up with their peers. So the probability is things are going to be okay, yet we really don't fully know the long-term effects of this. There's great concern about it, but it's looking to be less than we at one time thought, okay?
Yeah.
So nothing you can do about it. Nothing you can do anyway, so just do the best you can to raise this kid. And,
yeah.
You know, the brain is very plastic at a very young age, so.
Did you put your foot in her ass?
I put my foot in her ass. Kicked
That's
her
what
off.
I like to hear, brother.
All right, what do you do for a living, Steve?
Believe it or not, Adam, I drive a truck.
I sell crystal meth.
I started to write. I wrote the TR of my truck. I was about to write. Here's my point. I knew he drove a truck. I started to write truck. Here's the deal. He drives a truck. His old lady's a stripper meth head. The kid's not going to be on the Supreme Court.
No.
Anyway, you know what I'm saying? So how could you tell?
Yeah.
But what if he was?
I don't want to be cruel, but what I mean is you also you do a nature nurture thing here. I know this sounds horrible, but what I'm saying is mom was a meth head, so the kid's not coming from primo stock in the first place. So if he's toward the bottom of the class in his second grade, he could have been heading around there anyway. That might not have been the meth. That's all I'm saying.
Good times.
Yeah.
Take off time.
Yeah, it's my Aryan view of the world.
Higher a tutor.
No, it's not Aryan. Hitlerian view of the world.
Yeah, Hitlerian.
Hitlerian?
Ah, that movie was hilarious. All right. Who are we talking to, Drew? We got a question for Jay?
Each other.
All right. Jeff?
Hi.
You're 25?
I got a question for Jeff, for Jay. Jay, you were in one of the greatest TV shows in the history of television, which was Action, with Buddy Hackett and Ileana Duncan.
Oh, yeah, that was supposed to be good.
That was an amazing show. Yeah, and I wondered if there's any chance of that coming out on DVD.
Yeah, Sony's going to release it on DVD. They had it was hard for a long time because it was owned by three companies, Fox, Columbia TriStar, and Silver Pictures. So to get all three companies to agree on anything would be impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But then Sony had like a random like search over the internet, like what's the number one show that you want on DVD? And it was like something, it was like 10,000 votes, and it was something ridiculous, like 9,000 of them was Action.
Really?
So they're going to get it together.
What was it like working with Buddy? Were you pretty shocked when he passed away?
Yeah, I was pretty shocked, but old people die,
mm-hmm.
as awful as that sounds, and he lived, and if you or I spent 4 days in his body and his life, we'd need like a weekend to recover. So my man lived, man. You can live your life in a way where you live forever, and he certainly did that.
Last question, is there going to be an uncensored audio track on this?
Is there what?
Uncensored audio track.
Uncensored audio track. It was heavily censored because you cursed a lot during the show. Will the DVD have a complete uncensored audio track?
I would hope so.
Yeah, all of this would.
I don't know. Where do you live?
San Luis Obispo.
Oh, yeah, in St. Louis Obispo, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I think we first met you was with Buddy on Loveland, the TV show.
Well, you never know.
Really?
First day, he was
crying. He was like, when I was a kid, remember that? Yeah. When I was a kid, we didn't have forums like this, and we didn't talk about
this. This is wonderful.
This is wonderful.
I just like,
he went up to the wardrobe lady, he goes, could I call you in 6 weeks? And she goes, why 6 weeks? He goes, well, I've applied for a hard-on.
But the girl came up to him exactly 6 weeks later and goes, how'd it go? And that's all she said. He goes, they turned me down. Like remembering a joke 6 weeks later at 80 years old. Come on.
How about Jay Moore's moving eulogy? Oh, old people die.
That's the way it goes.
I'll remember it
all. Let me ask you. All right, ready?
Yeah.
A king says to a monk, it's an old Buddhist cone,
mm-hmm.
paint me happiness. And the monk just writes down, father dies, son dies. And the king says, I could have you killed for this. I asked you to paint me happiness. Do it again. And then the monk takes the paper and he writes down next to it, son dies, father dies. And he says, would you rather be in this order?
Wow.
My cousin got killed by a drunk driver when he was 20. I've seen parents straighten ties of a kid in a casket. That goes against the will of the universe. You're over, you're 7 years old, you die. It's like, you're free. Go, get on.
Jay's going to be down at the Deli Smoker this weekend.
The what?
I don't know.
The Deli Smoker?
The Good Time Theater at Knoxbury Farm.
Yeah, he's got two shows on Sunday. Oh,
I walk three shows. I don't do three shows. Three shows I walk.
Oh, that
a
is,
movie. You're not in a position to walk
but
yet.
See, if you're bringing the jar, you could dial in Friday night, Sunday.
I could dial in Meryl. Forget it. I can't talk anymore.
Julianne right. Nicholson. Say That's something. Right. Give out your number or something. Do something.
Jay.
I know.
Maria?
I just met a boy named Maria.
Hello.
Is that Maria?
Yeah, Maria.
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. It's because I'm calling from a cell phone. I'm sorry.
All right. Why? Do you have a landline you can talk on?
It's because I was coming from my boyfriend's house and I was on the freeway, so I called through my cell phone.
All right, go ahead.
I was molested when I was young, but this is my first boyfriend, and I can't seem to open up to him. Like, whenever he tries to go in, like, I push him away. And I was wondering, is it because I was molested?
Absolutely, absolutely. Naturally enough.
Or is there anything I could do about it?
Yeah, there are treatments for this, but you need to talk to someone about it.
Oh, like who?
Adam.
A therapist, yeah. Psychologist. I'd start with a general psychologist, somebody you can talk to about the feelings associated with this, and maybe get to the point where you could have a be able to be open to intimacy.
Right.
It's a tough thing.
Who did this to you?
It was actually two. One of my dad's friends, and then it was my uncle on my dad's side.
Dad's brother.
Yes. Yeah. To me,
yeah, his brother. Sorry.
I know Drew never sees it this way. I always look at it as sort of the ultimate FU to your brother or sister. Like you're effing their kid. Could there be a bigger slap in the face to your own sibling? And Drew, you think it's mostly like, well, they're just pedophiles and that's what they do.
I don't think it's anything to do with it. I understand,
but let me say this. I mean, there are guys that are thieves who won't steal from their own brother. You know, what I mean, they're guys who rob banks and kill people.
Stealing isn't a primal urge.
Well. No, but deviant behavior oftentimes is sort of a way of life that people
I don't disagree with you, by the way. I don't disagree. I just don't make as much of it as you do.
You wouldn't call it an homage to the brother or sister.
It's at least a push.
But so much of this goes on with the nieces and the nephews, and it's like, not that I understand pedophilia anyway, but the idea of taking a pass at one of my sister's kids just seems like... beyond the realm.
I know. I think I'm mad you're at your sister all the time. And even then...
Well, she wants to borrow money. She says borrow. She says borrow. She really means half. Sure. She says borrow. I take offense to the borrow.
I'm literally, but
I'd like to stay literally a millionaire.
And what does she say when you say you're taking money?
What'd she say?
Yeah, what'd she say?
She gives this bizarre brain in a jar scenario. I get confused, demoralized, and bored, and go home. All right. Carrie?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yes, I am.
All right. You quit smoking something?
Yeah. No, you know, the reason I'm calling is actually just, it's a vote of support actually for Drew. With regard to the comment that he was making earlier about disgust being the pivotal point in people stopping any sort of addiction, it is. I mean, speaking from personal experience, I unfortunately started smoking again 3.5 years later. But
smoking what?
Cigarettes? Cigarettes?
Yeah. We're not talking about anything crazy here, just cigarettes. Ooh. But that's how I quit, and I did start again. But something to look into. I mean, if we talk about it, someone's going to look into it and figure out there's got to be some way to capture that.
Right, yeah, that's the question. How do you get people to experience that, to see themselves and be disgusted in that moment?
All right, this is a horrible call. Carrie?
Yeah, I know that I had it myself, and I still can't bring it back.
Can't get back to it. Yeah.
But anyway, Drew, keep up the philosophical stuff. You're doing good.
Thank you, Carrie.
Wow.
Thank you.
All right. Go blow away another butt, Nietzsche. We got to take ourselves a little break here. All right. I don't trust that, Carrie.
Do you guys ever say to yourselves, like, what did we really do in the last break?
No. We don't.
Usually we don't have to do that. We know.
Yeah, we don't do anything.
Take another call real quick.
We got a break.
For what? To play commercials?
They're in our ears.
They gotta sell Budweiser in San Luis Obispo?
We got to sell crack to retarded kids.
We'll be right back, sir.
We'll take a quick break.
Julianne Nicholson.
Jay Moore.
Julianne Nicholson.
Jay Moore.
Don't
Jay Nicholson. And we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. Man, that's Dr. Drew. Julianne Nicholson is here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Capone the Oscar for seeing other people. Oh. Jay Moore in studio tonight as well.
Ooh, homo.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
Gorgeous, definitely like a pro wrestler.
Andy Richter is going to be in here on Sunday night.
I'm retarded.
Talking about the movie he did with Drew.
We'll get the real inside scoop about this film, too.
He was in our movie also.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. The kid gets around. He gets everywhere but this goddamn show. He's supposed to be here last week, and he forgot. And by the way, slap in the face. You know what I mean? Hey, at least come up with something. Say you turned your ankle heading out to the car or something. I forgot. You know what I mean? Like, if Julianne, if a guy said, he's going on a date with you and then called you, supposed to pick you up at 7, and then he called you at like 9:30 and went, hey, I'm sorry, man, I just forgot.
We wouldn't go out again.
Yeah, you'd be like, you forgot.
Yeah. I wouldn't feel that important to him.
Right. That's right.
Is that what you're feeling?
Yeah,
not important.
That's our self-esteem is low enough
except
that we go.
We're going on a second date, and we may go all the way with Andy Sunday night.
Here's how it went down.
Andy. Yes. Andy, are you there?
Yeah. I'm here, and I'm retarded.
What happened, buddy?
Get this. I forgot.
Oh, my God.
Newsflash. I forgot. Get this. All right, so you would not go out with Andy if he forgot to pick you up
well,
on a date.
Andy, yeah. I'd give him a second chance. Yeah.
He's got a little juice. He's in both films.
Exactly.
All right. Let's speak to Chris, who's 22. Chris?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
What's happening?
Oh, well, not a whole lot right now.
Why?
I got in a car accident last weekend, so I was in the hospital, and I was unconscious for almost 3 days. They used or put a catheter in me.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, been unconscious.
Yeah.
Yeah. And ever since then, I haven't been able to really perform in the bedroom, you know.
Well, that may. Are you on any medication now?
No, no medication or anything.
It could be the head injury. Did you have any orthopedic injury?
I'm not quite for sure. I mean,
you,
I say yes.
I'm
any residual problems? Any problems
that's
left over?
That's a big thumbs up, by the way.
Yeah, any problems still, left over from the accident?
I'm still kind of dazed from it. I did hit my head pretty hard on the windshield.
Are you on any pain medication?
Actually, yeah, they gave me some
Vicodin.
Yeah, Vicodin.
Are you taking it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's why you don't get erections.
Oh, really? Is that
well, maybe the catheter's still in.
The Vicodin. Yeah, catheter we're in.
I didn't say
that. Well, Drew, let me ask you a quick catheter question.
Yeah.
If I had a catheter in me...
Could you still...
And then I ejaculated, could I do it on someone that was like 9 feet away, like at the other end of the hose?
No, because the hose is going to the bladder.
I'd pull it out just a little bit then, right? That'd be great, just hitting like, people around corners with your semen.
When you get gas, you top it off.
Right.
Top off the tank.
Yeah, shove a little something in there, right. Oh. And then I just actually...
Oh. It's getting weird.
You ever had a catheter, Drew?
No.
Right.
Have you ever had a catheter?
Just, no.
Jay has. What's
Jay?
Up?
No, I haven't.
Oh. I have?
Have you ever had a catheter?
Sounded like a story.
Yes. Have you ever had a catheter?
No.
It's bad times.
You want one? You want a catheter, baby?
How far? So it goes in past. So what? You couldn't ejaculate.
Why don't they use local anesthetic? I always hear they just jam it in there.
This is an anesthetic gel.
Why am I so excited about this?
I'm wondering myself. This is a xylocaine gel I can use sometimes, but it still doesn't help that much. It's a pretty uncomfortable procedure.
Uncomfortable?
Actually, I had a cystoscopy.
What's that?
That's even worse.
That's where they put a jar with a rigid tube
that they look through.
Ribbed for her pleasure?
No.
In the penis?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's worse,
that's
right?
Bad, yeah, it's bad times.
Wow, what are they looking for?
This is a long time ago.
Mites.
No.
Did they do a local anesthetic for that?
A little one, yeah, a little bit.
It must be really hard, and I'm being actually serious, because when that thing comes out, you shrink to where you're like just a head.
The catheter comes out?
Yeah, like when you know that that's going in there, you just completely shrink to just a head.
Yeah,
and then
this turtle.
Then they have to like, I'm fascinated by catheters.
No kidding.
And they look, how far
I just don't know why they
can't
make it more comfortable.
It's like a telescope.
When they're looking down you. What thing you had again?
Cystoscopy.
Cystoscopy. And I picture him like going like, what do you see, Bert? I'm just looking at the hall. Oh, you're in too far. You come back a little bit. Yeah. So they just stand there and look down this thing?
Yeah.
Right. No corny like Ahoy jokes or anything like that?
No. You're about a quart low.
They sing the SpongeBob song, but that's it.
All right. So, Chris, maybe the painkillers and not the catheter. Yeah, maybe both. Maybe the accident.
The
maybe everything.
It's the Vicodin.
Okay.
Stop.
Right. Yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, buddy. Talking to a lot of people lately who've been hitting their heads in car accidents, so you gotta...
I got knocked out last week.
Really? What?
I'm doing this movie in Montreal where they don't know it's spring. It's like 5 degrees up there.
Right.
And I play this loser who I dress as like the sandwich outside like the sandwich shop.
Yeah.
And I get fired because my morale's bad. And then one day I'm driving past the sandwich shop and there's a new guy dressed as the cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And so I pull over and I run and I tackle him and I punch the crap out of him.
It's a great film. Fantastic.
No, it's hilarious. And then... So they got like this 19-year-old stunt kid in the hamburger costume.
Right.
And they go, you could really like punch the hell out of him because he's young and he's stupid and he's got like body armor on. I go, okay.
And this is Canada.
So like two takes, I'm just wailing on this kid and like my fist would slip through like where the patty and the lettuce is and I'd feel like flesh and I'd kind of lay off and I'd go to a padded part.
Right.
And then the kid takes like, yeah, I'd go to the bun. And the kid would like take the cheeseburger head off and I'd be like, you all right? He's like, what? And I'm like, oh, you know what? You know exactly what I said. Now I'm going to lay you out. And they go, let's do a third take. And I run and I tackle the kid. And he put his head down a little bit, like anticipating the hit. And right between my eyes hit the top of his head. And I covered my eyes like while I was still in the air. Like my, I was like parallel to the ground. And that's how I woke up, like on the ground.
Really?
So and I was out for like, yeah, I was out for like 10 seconds. And when I looked up, I opened my eyes. It was just the most beautiful blue sky. And the medic is like French-Canadian, and she's going, oh, mon chéri, d'accord, are you okay? And I thought, all I saw was blue sky. All I heard was a sexy voice.
You were dead.
I could lay here for a half hour. And then I see this prick dressed as a cheeseburger get to his feet. Yeah. Now I got to get up because he's getting up, you know, sure. New Jersey. And I get up. I go, oh, my God, I think we hit. And my other first thought was, everyone's going to think I'm faking it because I crack jokes all the time. And I go, oh, we hit heads. I think we hit heads. Do we hit heads? And the kid goes, I don't know. And then I get, like, crazy, and I go, how the F do you not know if you get hit in the effing head? And the kid, it turns out he's just like a mouth breather. He's just dumb. Right. But I thought he's being a wise guy. He goes, I don't feel anything. And I go, what are you, a freaking wise guy? You don't feel anything? I'm laying on the ground, like, clutching my skull. You know, and we had to, like, be separated because I almost fought a guy dressed as a cheeseburger.
Oh, my God.
But being knocked out really isn't bad.
No, yeah,
I'd much rather like get knocked out than like sprain my ankle.
You'll mess with your panic disorder. That'll get worse.
Well, don't tell me that.
That's going to mess how long with his panic disorder.
About 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. You've
been
now.
Okay since? You didn't have any mood disturbances?
No. It was actually kind of, I felt like kind of cool. Because my friends that like play football, they get concussions all the time. And I'm like, wow. But I didn't have a concussion because they said I would have vomited.
No. Concussion just means you lose consciousness. You had a concussion by definition.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I thought concussion was when your brain moves inside the skull.
Any altered sensorium is considered a concussion.
Oh, see, that's
more,
cool.
More severe form to get vomiting and that kind of stuff.
Go ahead. You have one. And
nice.
You know,
it's not bad. It's
I was
really
imagining like waking up after head trauma, seeing a guy in a giant hamburger standing over you, and you're going, like, man, I must be hungry. Like you'd think you're on an you're like you're a cartoon, like when you're on the island and everyone turns into a pork chop.
We're going to have roast rabbit.
Mandy?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
My husband and I, we've been married for a while, but we've been dating for 5 years. And the past 3 years, I'm lucky if he wants to make love like 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 3 times a week.
Not 3 times a week, but 3 times a month.
I see. Like,
and wondering if that's normal for him. He's 21.
Let me pose this question. We've been hearing more and more of this. Drew is a man of exquisite passion and does not understand this, and always would label these people just, well, possibly gay, or maybe he's depressed, or he's on medication, or something like that. But we're hearing more and more of this. Is it heading this way? Or are we making too much out of it? It's like the sort of gay argument is, you know, 4% of society always been gay? Or are we just hearing more about it now? Or did it used to be this way 100 years ago?
Mm.
It seems like we're talking to 5 couples every night where the guy
is
lost interest.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Is she still on the line?
Yeah. Mandy,
what does he do for a living?
Well, we're both just college students. I work at a retail store.
All right, so it's not like he's like drive. He's so tired he can't do it from work.
No,
or from school.
My knee-jerk reaction is that he's having things on the side and he's not that attractive to you.
Mm-hmm. My hand-jerk reaction is the same. I think he's.
I don't think so.
Well, you're not supposed to. That's a common place.
I'm so funny.
But that's the guy who goes from all the time to not at all. Yeah, EJ.
Yeah.
That's that guy. Has this guy? Did he have a much higher rhythm? Frequency before?
Before we used to quite a bit, and then we had to taper off to like 3 or 4 times a week, and then it's just been.
What do you mean you had to taper off? Why'd you have to taper off?
The doctor said we had to.
Why?
Because it's not. It wasn't. We're having problems with lubrication. Because we were doing it so much in the beginning.
Why is every call shrouded in mystery?
Yeah,
it's like three questions and then, oh, and my cervix got taken out. Yeah. Oh, you left that part out.
Yeah.
But not only is it mystery, but it's like going to a really crappy carnival and someone going, you want to know what's behind the curtain? And you're going,
no.
Nah, not really. I'm looking for my car.
So you had to have less sex because you had lubrication problems, and as a result, you had to see a doctor because it was not making sense,
Mandy. You mean lubrication, like you yourself couldn't become...
Lubricated,
or because of lubrication that you were bringing in from the outside, like
no, because it was just we were doing it like three or four times a day,
yeah.
And so I wasn't able to maintain enough lubrication for that.
And what was it causing as a result?
Just dryness and soreness and
soreness. Okay, so you were overdoing
pain.
And then you cut down to how often?
I'm going to
figure
times,
this one out. Damn,
three
it.
Or four times a week.
And then what happened from there?
Does he have a baby arm?
Shh, shh. Huh? What happened from there?
Oh, it just went from three to four times a week to like once, twice a week, and then...
It just faded out.
Yeah.
And did you say you're married or is your boyfriend?
We're married now.
You married how long ago?
We got married in January.
So relatively recent marriage. And what anything you need to tell me about him? Has he been a history of drug addiction or is any trauma history in his past? He's a drug addict.
No,
right?
He's not a drug addict. He doesn't do drugs. He doesn't drink heavily. He
didn't used to be?
No.
Does he do anything?
Something sounds
you're being very cryptic. What's up? He doesn't do any drugs? He doesn't drink?
No, he doesn't do drugs. He doesn't drink.
All right, then shut up. I'm punishing you. No, because I'm tired of that, well, guess kind of thing, and then there's nothing behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Maybe this guy just punched himself out like Klitschko a few weeks back. Get Jay back.
There's going from hypersexuality to shutdown.
He's bored with it.
It's no either.
He's like, you know, one vagina for the rest of my life. I can't believe I signed up for this, so I'm going to go and look around. And when I come home, leave me alone. I'm sleeping. It's my house.
Usually that guy's got a history of abnormal behavior, and usually the female calling is calling with more complaints about him. This is just about the sex.
But they're like, it's crippling vagueness, these calls.
But I know. Yes. To me, it just smacks of somebody who used to get their arousal from sex and now is getting from drugs and alcohol. And that's why the sex shuts down.
But why wouldn't she say it then?
Maybe she doesn't know it. All right. Ask if he smokes a lot of pot. Let's just ask her. She may not count that.
20 minutes.
Man, does he smoke a lot of pot?
No.
No.
Has he ever done drugs or alcohol?
Yeah, there was a short
period. Is he out of your sight for extended periods of time?
Wait, there was a what?
There was a short period where, in high school, we both experimented with pot.
That's nothing.
But it didn't seem to make much of a difference.
Do you notice he's gone for periods of time when he says, like, I'm going to a friend's house, and that's, like, routine in your house where he comes home after, like, a three-hour thing, and you're like, how was Tony's house? And he's like, good, and then he just goes downstairs.
No. We just moved to Seattle, and we don't have any friends here, so...
Okay.
He's not attracted to you.
All right. No.
Thumbs up with him. Guy.
I'm going to create my own curtain. I don't care anymore.
Fine.
Pull back the curtain. You got fat. He's not into it.
That's right. Mandy.
Did you gain a lot of weight?
No, I've always
been
fat. You guys 21. It wouldn't matter. Or 22.
It wouldn't matter.
I mean, it would matter, but he'd still be gone.
The guy's got a baby arm. He could bang anything in Seattle.
Jay, you dubbed him one with the baby arm.
I know the guy. He's my friend. Bring him in.
Here's the thing.
Chris Walken again.
We got to take a break.
He's got a baby arm. You should lay off the pork chops and maybe jog and take care. When was the last time you put on a nice pair of panties? Yeah. The silence is deafening.
All right.
You've got to change that name to Jasper Jowls. Clean his junkyard once in a while.
Let's take a break. I'm sure these kids will work it out.
Yeah.
And
someone with like real dysfunction, call.
Yeah, we're looking for troublemakers today.
Jeez, I'm in like a bad mood being on your show.
That's all right. Did you need some weed or something? Like you bring like a pot brownie or something? True.
No, I don't eat it. I never did it before, and I won't start. Like a 33 ounce.
Cause panic.
Eating it.
And you can't. You can't regulate how much you do, and there's no sleeping it off.
No.
I'm done with every drug there is.
What he's saying is he's a drinker now.
Right.
No, I've been sober in like 10 years.
Really?
But I had to go to AA to get off NyQuil.
But Drew, sober. not sober with weed. See, Drew doesn't count that as sober. That's not
I don't care what anybody thinks. I know I'm sober and I smoke weed.
All right.
And when you go to AA, the hardliners are like, well, then you're not sober. And that's right. I'm like, well, then you and I are from different trains of thought because I don't drink and I don't think of drinking and I don't want to drink.
All right. All right, let's take a break. Drew, you burst Chase Bubble during the break?
After the break.
All right, we'll be back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Julianne Nicholson is here tonight. Jay Moore here tonight, seeing other people. Name of their new movie. Andy Richter, who's going to be in here on Sunday night, is also in that new film.
Jonathan Davis. Amy Rogers. Liz Phair.
Wow. Liz Phair getting into acting. All right, Drew, wipe the puss off. Okay. The sanctimonious puss, and let's move forward and help the kids, yes?
Yep, you pick a call.
All right, I'm going with Marina over here. Marina?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Okay, I've been with my boyfriend for a little over a year and a half, and over, like, the past 4 months, he's been having, like, sexual problems. Mm-hmm. He has no desire, and it doesn't really work at all. Mm-hmm. And we figured out, like, 3 possible medical causes of why this could be, and I just wanted to know if any of these could contribute to this.
All right, let's hear your three, your theory.
One is that he's clean now. He's been clean for about 4 years, but for 10 years he seriously abused like a lot of really bad drugs.
Mm. All right.
Yep, that can affect
10 years. How old is he now?
He is nearly 28.
That can affect his mood, his sexual performance. It can affect lots of different aspects.
And after he stopped abusing these drugs, he had like no metabolism whatsoever. So he went from about 150 pounds to 350 pounds in 4 or 5 years.
Wow. Think about being somebody that should be 150 that's now 350 will be producing a lot of excess circulating estrogen.
Did he lose to Dead Fan on television?
And so all that estrogen, lower testosterone, hyped estrogen may affect his sexual performance. Those are 2 good reasons.
Last comic stand and come back to NBC, by the way.
You got a third option?
Yeah, he's kind of been having heart problems lately. Okay. And he was thinking that he might have bad circulation.
What heart problems do you have?
It beats really fast and really hard, and it's...
Well, Maria, that needs to be checked out. That may not even be a heart problem. Maybe it's a thyroid problem. Wait. I mean, there's...
It's that opening a jar of pickles.
Yeah,
is he still fat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you consider 350
that's
fat.
That's why it's on the list.
No, I wasn't paying attention.
On the list. Okay.
But Maria, he may have a medical problem here. I mean, he needs to see
he's 350 pounds. Yeah, he's got a medical... Of course he's got a medical problem. It's huge.
Rhythm disturbances, and it could be a
Do
lot of
things.
You think
it all comes back to the drugs?
No, like he could be diabetic. He could be diabetic now from
well,
the obesity.
Okay,
let
me say a couple things. First off, she's calling from Mississippi, so he's considered medium. He's
medium
sort of,
plump.
Extra medium.
If he wanted to box in Mississippi, he'd be like a junior welterweight.
Plump.
Number two... It can be all of these things. It could be obesity. It could be a heart problem. It could be the drug abuse of the past. It could be all these
things. No way I can sort it out on the radio, Marina. He needs some blood work. He needs somebody to examine him. Maybe he's now diabetic because of the obesity. I mean, there's a lot
what
of different
markets
things.
Are you guys
Would
in?
Would Viagra help?
Marina! He could
Viagra,
have
my he could balls! Have get to the doctor!
He could have a life-threatening condition
Jesus.
Here.
Jesus!
Rigor mortis will set in. You'll get one
Get
good
a Goumat on the
it.
Side. Work your thing out and send him to the doctor already, honey!
Hello.
Next caller. Go to the doctor.
What's wrong with these people?
What's the problem?
Should maybe... I mean, you can't have an erection, but, you know...
What if we took two popsicle sticks and some duct tape made a splint for his dork?
You dipstick. Oh, Splash.
Cooter.
Everybody brought in the dog? Splash?
Yeah, the dog.
Where's the banjo now? Come on.
There's a guy named Cooter on the show. I like that. Worked on the train.
All right, who's next?
All right, who's next, Drew?
Ugh.
Gets constipated when working out. Yeah. Dallas, female.
It's called creatine. She's on creatine.
Hi.
Dallas?
Do you take creatine?
No.
All right, next caller.
Do you constipate around the time of your period?
Well, no, just... I'm sorry, what did you say?
Does the constipation come on around the time of your period?
No, it doesn't. It's just whenever I run on the treadmill or, like, even run around the neighborhood, like, 10 minutes into running... I will just, like, get this unbearable pain in my stomach and in my back, and it feels like I'm constipated, and, like, I have menstrual cramps, and, like, someone kicks me really hard, and it's just constant for, like, 10 or 15 minutes, Yeah. And then it just goes away.
Yeah. Well, so is it getting a stitch in your side, like when you run?
It's like you eat right before you go running or something?
It's called a mass movement.
And it only happens like 3 or 4 days before. Like I've noticed like the past 3 months, it's only happened when I, because I run every day, and it's only happened like 3 or 4 days before my period.
Didn't I just ask her
weird.
That?
Weird.
Didn't I just
you
ask?
People are retards. Next caller.
Didn't I just ask her
he just asked you if it was before your period, and you said no. And then he goes, it's a mass movement. Like, he knows what it is. He's about to answer what it is, and you just keep going. And then when I run, and I run, and I run, he just told you what it was.
I love Jay because he shares my pain.
Yeah, he does.
But you have to be, like, politically correct.
He deeply shares it.
But you have to be cool about it.
Yeah, I do, because like I can't express my outrage, but you can do it for
me. These people are morons.
I love
it. Not all of them, just of what? Like, the guy that complimented me was cool.
The one we talk about is that you know, if Adam were going to give them instruction on how to hang a door, they would go, oh, no, wait a minute, you don't understand. It's like, hey.
Yeah. Yeah, they never, well, listen, I wonder if society in general, I got a couple ideas. One is maybe there's just too much goddamn PlayStation and too many channels on TV. Maybe people cannot sit still and absorb information anymore. Like, the longer, if you show me someone who can sit down and read a book for 2 hours, I'll show you someone who can listen to Dr. Drew. You show me a guy's got to talk on his cell phone while playing PlayStation, while masturbating to a split vision porn on the same
with
TV.
With a Q-tip in his ear.
With a Q-tip in his ear. I'm going to show you one of our callers.
Yes.
So that's
but if you, again, if you were to give him some plumbing advice, he'd listen to that.
Well, the other thing.
I wish, if I was a psychologist, you give me 4 patients, I could string them for 20 years. It's amazing.
Well, so what's the other thing? I want to hear the theory.
The other thing is this sort of this constant denial. Like you go, are you, do you drink? No, but I do drink a lot. You know, it's just sort of no.
Yeah,
it's
no to everything.
Yeah, like it's like a cop has pulled you over or something.
It's
and
such a confused
you.
Authority.
How many drinks have you had? 2.5. It's the half that puts the cuffs on you.
All right, we're going to break.
All right, we're going to break. We're Jeez. Discussing with all of you, especially Jay.
Discuss with the toys.
And we'll be right back. Top 9. Into the night I come. You are listening. Listening. Into the night I come. To 91X. All right, that's it. Julianne? God bless you.
Thank you.
You were a delight. I'm so lovely meeting you.
She's, you know, she comes off the bench. She's 3 for 3 from the 3-point line.
Yeah.
Went to the line twice.
Really
you guys are a lot, I have to say, to come into.
Well, Jay really tends to stir things up. We're like a snow globe that's settled, and Jay comes in and gives us a good shake.
Okay. Yes.
No, we don't talk.
Normally, it's a lot of hand gestures and grunts. All right. Go out and see the movie, Seeing Other People. It is coming out tomorrow. And look for Drew's movie, New York Minute, which has a couple gals called the Olsen Twins. All right, fantastic. I want to thank producer Ann. I want to thank producer Lauren. I want to thank engineer Chris. I want to thank engineer Anderson. And I want to thank phone screener Brian. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Oh, to be a Nagasaki where the women chew the baki and the men say woo, wacky woo. Dr. Drew.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.